Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John chapter 21, beginning with verse 1, God's Word says, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. Would you bow with me? Let's have a moment of prayer over this passage. Heavenly Father and Lord God, I thank you for the privilege of opening your word this morning. I thank you for the message that you have provided and given, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word and your message would not return into your void, but that it would accomplish everything you have purposed it to do. Heavenly Father, let these words not be from me, and let them not be about me, but let them come from you, and let them lift up Jesus Christ and glorify him. For it is in his name and for his purpose I pray. Amen. We have what I call and what I like to refer to in God's Word as the disciples' fishing story. Have you ever been fishing and had one of these things where you just decided right at the spur of the moment, I'm going to go fishing, and you grab your tackle box, you grab your fishing rod, you head out the door, you go to the lake or go to the river, and you get set up, and you start fishing, and you don't catch a thing. Not even a bite. And then you start thinking about it, you start thinking about what may have happened, and you start wondering about, well, did I prepare right? You start thinking about, well, it was just a sudden decision, a sudden thought. And you realize that there was really no preparation. That's what happened to the disciples. Many of us find ourselves in this position. Whether it may not be a fishing trip. It may be a career. It may be something else going on in our lives. We have things taking place that we are prepared for, we have prepared ourselves for, we have studied, we have done things, and yet we take it upon ourselves and in our own power to go out and try to make a difference. Often in the church, We will try to make a difference. We will try to make a difference in the community. We will try to make a difference growing the church. We will try to make a difference. But we will do it in our own power. And when we do that, we will fail. So then there's a question I want to ask in regards to the passage and in regards to the few remarks I've made. Is it possible for us to do anything in our own power? Is it possible for us to take any control and have any authority in our own lives and do anything, especially if we are born again Christians? Do we have that ability? Do we have that liberty? Now I say that and I ask the question in this regard. We're not robots. We're not programmed. We have some free will in our lives. But that free will has to be handled in good stewardship of God's Word, doesn't it? That liberty and that free will that we have in our life is not just something where we can just catch as catch can through a knee-jerk reaction, start making decisions and going off without proper thought, proper consideration. You see, when we read our passage, we find out that's what Peter done. That's what all of the disciples done. They were all gathered there, or just about all of them. Jesus had already been to them two other times and already made Himself available two other times. But they were sitting there and Peter just stands up and Peter says, I think I'm going to go fishing. Now, if you go back through the Gospels, if you go back through the other Gospels and you read, you can get a little more information about this and a little more detail about what's going on here. Peter had already denied Christ three times. Peter had ran in shame, feeling frustrated and disgusted at the way he had handled himself and the way he had behaved at Jesus' trials. All of the other disciples had scattered and left. Even when the Lord had risen, if you remember, go back a few messages, when the Lord was resurrected, and Mary Magdalene and those, they went to the tomb and he had been resurrected. He wasn't there. They did not remember anything about Christ saying He was going to be resurrected. He was going to rise the third day. What they came up with was somebody took the Lord. Instead of them putting into practice in their life what Jesus had taught them and told them for the last 3 years, they were moving out on their own power and on their own authority, and they were looking at things in a very carnal way. We have to be careful with that. You have to be careful. I have to be careful that we don't take God's Word and we don't look at it in a worldly, in a carnal way and under glasses that have us look at it from conforming to the world and not transforming the world. Because that's what we're asked to do, right? We're asked to transform the world, not conform to it. But if we're not careful, we wind up in the same condition that these disciples wound up in. We wind up confused. We wind up frustrated. We wind up struggling for answers. And we wind up taking matters into our own hands and doing things that aren't possible for us to fulfill because we need to be relying on Christ. Well, how do we do that? How do we come to the point where we understand the difference between relying on me and relying on Christ? Three things I want to pass along to you this morning. First, that our confidence is never in our own strength, but in the sovereignty of Christ. Whatever we do, whatever we are, the development that we have, the growth, the maturity that we have it because of Christ. If you're saved today, you are saved because of Christ. If you are being led into a greater service and a greater work today, it is because of Christ. If God is moving and working in your family today, and He's taking the husbands and turning them into the spiritual leaders. It's because of Christ. There are things that happen, that are happening in all of our lives daily, that is because of Christ, not because of our own strength. I do not stand up here, and I do not open God's Word, and I do not preach it, and I do not teach it, because I have degrees from the seminary. Those are, I appreciate God working into my life and bringing those things to fruition, and I put hard work into them, but those are all the result of Christ, not me. As a matter of fact, I've said this before, and I'll briefly mention it now. When I go back and I look at the qualifications for the seminary work and the seminary classes and the degrees that I have, and I look at my high school background, and I look at things that I had done in the past, and the way that I was mishandling my life before I was saved, I didn't qualify academically. I did not qualify for anything above a Bible college opportunity. But God opened those doors. God did. I did. But I don't stand up here because of anything that has been earned. I stand up here because one day I got a calling in my heart that God was wanting me to do something. I had plans. You've heard this testimony before. I had plans to be an electrical engineer. I had already went to McDowell Tech. I had gotten a 2-year degree down there. I graduated in the highest part of the class that I could graduate with. My plans was to take my background in electricity, my electrical license, everything that I had accomplished up to that point. And at that point, I was thinking it was all on me. And I was going to roll that into an engineering degree, and I was going to become an electrical engineer. I was 2 years away from finishing an education that would allow me the opportunity to go to Raleigh and sit for the PE exam, 2 years away from it. And God said, go preach. God said, go preach. And I did. It wasn't that simple at the time. I'm not going to play around with it. I tried to talk him out of it. I tried to leave it. I tried to get away from it. I tried to move away from it. The farther away I would run from it, the farther into it I would get. God would have no part. God's plan was to follow him. So I submitted. I turned it over to him. I couldn't speak publicly. Some say today I still can't speak publicly. But I was scared to death to get in front of people. God moved. God did. The confidence that I have today doesn't come from anything that I have earned. It comes from Christ. It comes from Him. The confidence that you have in what you do today should come from Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what career you have, what God has placed you in. It doesn't matter the work that He has placed you in and through the church. It doesn't matter what He is calling you to do today. And let me say this, God is calling each one of you to do something. God has gifted each one of you to do something for Him in His kingdom. And let me encourage you to prayerfully seek Him and seek that out and prayerfully put it to work in your life and ask Him to move and put your confidence in Christ. That's what Peter had to do. That's what Peter had to figure out here. Peter was all about Peter. He went running off and he was going to go back to fishing. That was his career. Peter considered himself an expert fisher. He had done all, he had raised his family, he had developed everything that he had had to work with and everything that he had to go on in life was developed around a professional fisherman. And Peter and the rest of them were going to go back to it. That's what they knew. That's where they were going to go. They were doing it of their own power and of their own will. And Christ intervened and they caught nothing. Until they followed the instructions of Christ. I was doing things in my life on my own. I had my own plans, remember? I was going to be the electrical engineer. I had it all worked out. I had it laid out. Western Carolina University wouldn't even talk to me. Central Piedmont, or the Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, wouldn't talk to me. I didn't qualify academically for any of their programs, even though I graduated at the top of the class. God was closing doors. And then when I submitted to His call to preach and His call to move into His work, God took that and He started opening doors. When Peter quit fishing by Peter's standards and when Peter quit fishing by his own standards and quit doing things his way and started listening to what Jesus had to say and do it on the right side of the boat. Let me say this about Jesus' statement on the right side of the boat. We can think of that two ways. The right-hand side of the boat or the right side of the boat because that was the side that Christ was blessed. That's where I see it. That's where Christ was sending them to. You done it on your side of the boat and it didn't work so well. Try doing it on my side of the boat. And see how it works out when you do it my way. Confidence in Christ. Confidence. Then there is commitment. Number two, our commitment should not be in anyone or anything but Christ. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be committed to your wife or your husband. I'm not saying you shouldn't be committed to your family, shouldn't be committed to your employer, shouldn't be committed to your church. I'm not saying any of that. It's a different kind of commitment. The commitment that we're talking about here is the commitment we have in how we're going to meet the expectations that Christ puts on us, that the Word of God puts on us. And we do have expectations from God's Word. I think the church has failed in a lot of ways today because the church has tried to wash away the idea of God having expectations on the people that He has saved and on the church that He has ordained and set apart. We are saved for a purpose, and that purpose is the Great Commission. And we have an expectation of fulfilling that. We have a commitment to do that. And the only way we're going to fulfill that commitment, the only way we're going to fulfill any of the commitment that Christ puts in our life is if we put Christ first. Our commitment has to be in Him. We can take it upon ourselves to write all of the checks that we want to write and send to all of the missions work around the world. If we're writing them of our own design, if we are writing them based upon our personal commitment, say, look what we did help and do, look what we did to fund this, then we're barking up the wrong tree. That dog won't hunt. We need to be committed to Christ. What we do in the name of Christ. What we do to see people saved. What we do is for His kingdom growth. Not for a church name, not for a denomination name, not for any of that. For kingdom growth in Jesus Christ. That is where our commitment needs to be. After Peter had his personal failures, and after Peter began to realize, I'm hanging my hat on the wrong hanger. I need to get my life out of my hands, and I need to get it in the hands of Jesus. When Peter realized that, and he made that turn, and we're going to see that, as we finish up with chapter 21, we are going to see where Peter actually makes that change and actually starts making that turn in his life. And here Jesus is putting these things in front of him. He's saying, have you put your confidence in me? He's saying, put your commitment in me. I'm giving you evidence and I'm showing you what I can do through you. When they brought all those fish to shore, Jesus told them, bring them up here. Let's cook them. Have you had anything to eat? Bring them up here and let's cook them. And he served. Jesus served. When we go fishing for people, when we go out into the community, when we go to work, we're talking to folks about Christ, about Jesus. We're talking to folks about church, about what went on in church. We're talking to folks about anything and everything dealing with the Christianity. Are we talking to them about Jesus and about what He is doing in your life and what He is doing through your life and how the what difference He is making in your life? Are we letting Jesus serve through us? Are we letting Him feed other people through us? Are we bringing the fish to shore? Are we bringing the catch in? We're throwing the net of the gospel out and we're bringing in. And are we bringing them in for us to feed, or are we bringing them in so that Christ can feed? What's our commitment? That's something that we need to take a very strong look at. Not just in a corporate church setting, like I've told you before. It has to start in your heart. Personal. It's not going to hit a group at once. It will hit individuals in that group. And then they come together under Christ. What about you? Where's your confidence at this morning? Where is your commitment at this morning, individually? Is it in Christ? Or is it in yourself? Or is it in your employer? Or is it in your government? Is it in your political party? Where is that confidence and where is that commitment? Because where you find yourself at in those two areas will bring you to the third point this morning, and it is our comfort. Our comfort will be in a morality. That morality will be shown through a mercy. If we are confident in Christ, if we are committed to Christ, if Christ is the focus and the center of our life, the morality and the mercy that we have in our life and comes through our life will be coming from God's Word, and it will be coming from Christ. It will be His mercy. It will be His morality. It will be and when I say morality, it's the decisions that we make. Let me clear that up. How do you make the decisions that you make in life? There are a lot of people this morning that are making a lot of bad decisions because they've got bad morality. There are a lot of people this morning that are making decisions that involve abortion, that involve same-sex lifestyles and marriages. There are people making bad decisions this morning that when it involves a lot of circumstances and situations in our life and in our nation as a whole because they've got bad morality. They're listening to the wrong people to base those decisions on. There are people out there who will play on your fear. There are people that will play on your frustrations. There are people that will work and they will be the instruments of the devil and his work to play out in your life and to influence you and to influence your morality. And then the easy side of it is God's Word. You want good morality? You want something good to make decisions based on? Decisions that will always be right? Come back to God's Word. Come back to God's Word. Because if our confidence and our commitment is in Jesus Christ, then when we make decisions, we're going to make them based on God's Word. When Jesus let them go on their failed fishing trip, He did it to teach them a lesson. He did it to get their attention and get it focused back on Him. Jesus said, come and die. And they didn't, none of those disciples dare ask Him. When it says durst, they, none of the disciples durst to ask Him. None of the disciples brings upon themselves the nerve, durst. An old English word that brings, it means brings on oneself. It brings on oneself the ability or the strength or the nerve to ask Him if He is the Lord, because they knew. When the Word of God is saying something to you in your life personally, how do you handle it? Do you bring it upon yourself to question it? Or do you bring it upon yourself to accept it? The disciples accepted it because they knew. They didn't dare ask, who are you? They knew. When we stop questioning God's Word, when we stop criticizing, when we stop ridiculing it, when we stop saying that it is full of errors and contradictions, and we start accepting it again as the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God, written to bring His people, to bring the saved closer to Christ, and to bring the lost into a saving relationship with Christ, and accept it for what it really is, then our confidence and our commitment will be revealed in our morality and in our mercy of others. I spoke earlier in the announcements about the Wednesday night messages. Wednesday night messages coming from James. We just finished last Wednesday night. We just touched on the message of faith and works. I'm not going to re-preach that message. I'm not even going to hit on it, but I am going to say that message on faith and works Wednesday night comes right back to some of the key points out of what we're looking at today and how Christ worked with these disciples. You were here Wednesday night. You can follow up on that. You know where I'm coming from. If you weren't here Wednesday night, you can go online and you can listen to it free of charge. Folks, what are we going to do when it comes to serving Jesus? Are we going to just say, I'll go back to the way it was? When things challenge us, when change comes about in our life, in our personal life, in our church life, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do? Are we going to be confident in Christ and committed to Christ and let Him have His way and His work in our life? Or are we going to say, I want to keep it the way it was? How was that? All pointing back to me, myself, and I. Do we want one of those failed fishing trips, or do we want to be fishing on the right side? That's what we got to ask ourselves. And we got to be honest about it. When we go after the answer, we can't go after the answer based upon our opinion. We can't go after the answer based upon my thoughts or my feelings. We have to go after the answer based on God's Word. What does God want us to do according to His Word? Does He want us to go fishing on our terms? Or does He want us to go fishing on His terms? If it's our terms, it's going to fail. If it's His terms, it's going to always bring more of a blessing than what we know what to do. It's up to us. This is the free will and the liberty that we have. It's up to us. Peter could have said no. The disciples could have said no. I want to keep fishing on the wrong side of the boat, just because I want to fish on the wrong side of the boat. But they did. They threw their nets over on the right side, the side that the Lord was leading. What are we going to do in our lives? What are we going to do in our church? What are we going to do in our county, our state, and our nation when it comes to following, doing, and casting the net of the gospel. Are we going to do it our way, or are we going to do it Christ's way? I have just a few more words of closing. I want to ask our musicians and song leaders if they'll come, and if they'll provide a hymn of closing and invitation this morning. And as they're coming, as they're preparing, think about that question that I asked at the beginning. Is it possible for us to do anything in our own power? Sure, it's possible. Is it profitable? Is it the right thing for us to do in our own power? Is that what the Lord wants us to do? Or does He want us leaning on Him? Does He want us following Him? Does He want you? He wants you to follow Him this morning. He wants you to be in His Word. He wants you to be in His will. He wants you to be the person that He is working through, casting that net of the gospel out into this world. Yes, He got a large number of fish. And if you notice, they weren't all the same kind of fish. They were all different. Some of them were probably good eating fish. Some of them probably not. Some of them probably are good for nothing but fertilizer. When we throw out the gospel net, we're going to cast out and we're going to bring in what it brings. We're going to let God work on that. We're going to let Him make those decisions. What about you? What are the possibilities this morning in your life? What are the possibilities of God using you to fish on the right side of life? As we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, whether it is in salvation or whether it is in His service, whatever it may be, the altar is open. Come, do business with Him. I'll be glad to meet you up here and answer any questions that you may have. Ladies.